chapter 20.
Thank you, Ms. Chelsea. Proverbs chapter 20, we'll be looking at verse 27, but before we do that, just by way of introduction, sin such as lying, it's like your mom asks, do you have any sweets today? We got a guest here from Amherst, might be the only one that appreciates this illustration, but there's a Cinnabon, not that freezer-dried Cinnabon that we're used to here, but I'm talking a Cinnabon from Cinnabon. It's a lot better. It's steaming. Did I have any sweets today? Boy, it looks so good. She even warmed it up for me. Damn be the consequences, I'm gonna have that Cinnabon. You bite into it, and you're expecting something. You're expecting the most delicious thing you've ever put in your mouth. But there's nothing. Dead. All you can think about is how you betrayed her trust for a mouthful of nothing. You can barely taste it, and you certainly don't enjoy it. That's sin. Now it's giving you stomach pain. The harder you try to keep it down, the more you feel like throwing up. Why is that? Because sin hurts. It separates you from God. His word says it separates you from Him. It separates you from a clean conscience. That's right. Most of us here don't even remember what it was like to have a clean conscience. I can draw you a picture. I like to draw pictures. Very visual person. You can imagine the joy of being in a cardboard box for hours. And I mean, just filled with joy. That's what a clean conscience is like. It's so small. Your situation, what you're dealing with, is so small because you're filled with joy. That's what a clean conscience is like. Yes, sir. I would that each of you would have a clean conscience here, and we're going to see what God needs to do for you to have a clean conscience here today. Not because of me. Chris is probably the only one close enough to smell this, but these notes smell like a salad vinaigrette, perfectly seasoned. Not because of me, but because of what God's able to do. Amen. The subtlety of sin, it overtook you. Because it hurt after the fact, it wasn't instant. And it gave you a false sense, a false sense that I'm big enough to handle this. Not realizing or not knowing that that little lie was big enough to throw you in hell. That's by way of introduction. Now we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. And it's been preached here before, but that's where we find ourselves. We find ourselves incomplete, not whole, but searching for God. Thank God that he's put you here in a Bible-believing church where you can hear the Word of God. Preached at times with power. We expect a big revelation to bring us to Christ. It was what the world would call a small infraction. For the Apostle Paul, for Dale, for me, and I expect for you. Paul coveted in his heart, and Dale was a rebel against a holy God. And I put myself above God. When we realize that we're dealing with a holy God, it doesn't take a whopper of a sin to grieve him. Something as simple as lying about a Cinnabon. Do you know what keeps you from God? Do you want to know?
Your desire.
What's that, Hank?
Your desire.
Your desires keep you from God.
Amen.
That's well put. Amen. Why don't you ask him to show you? When he does, would you see it for what it is? It's big enough to keep you from God, to keep you separate. Would you beg God over that thing? Would you beg him that he'd forgive you and that he'd wash it in the precious, innocent blood of his Son? Let's turn to Proverbs 6. Some of the congregation will remember Proverbs 6:16. We started a series looking at the seven deadly sins, the grievous sins. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. I'm sorry, Proverbs 6, verse 16. Grandma Harbeck, it's good to see you. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him.
Amen.
A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. And that's where we find ourselves today. Hands that shed innocent blood. That's what we'd like to focus on today. I've heard it preached before. I've preached it before that this innocent blood is the victim of abortion. And it is. There's no lie to that. There's no falsehood to that. But I think the bigger, the more obvious lesson here, we may be losing sight of, whose blood was innocent? That's right, Jesus' blood. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27, and we'll pick it up in verse 4. Saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed that innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? What is that to us? See thou to that. So you have someone before you today saying you've sinned against that innocent blood. And your response is, what is that to us? Almost, you take care of it. See thou to that. Your sins, too, they don't see it. They don't see God's blood as innocent. Let me make it clear. Your sins also betray that innocent blood. Without your sins, Christ still would have died for the sins from Adam to the rest of the world. But because of your sins, there is an account that needs to be paid for. Let me know if you want me to grab it for you. We've got one guest here, a few people might not get that, but I had the opportunity to preach once with a Sharpie marker. I made a graph of my sins for the world, and it raised some eyebrows, but I think some people got something out of it. Let's turn to Isaiah 59. I'm going to do a little, some quick turning. If you're not comfortable turning, I will read it. You don't have to go there, but I have a bit of an impediment. I like to repeat things, and I like to, sometimes I don't get the words quite right. So if you catch me, there's a dollar for you. Isaiah 59, verse 7. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. And we find a companion verse in the next book, Jeremiah 21. Those feet running to shed innocent blood. Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 17. But thine eyes and thine heart are not but for thy... Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 17. But thine eyes and thine heart are not but for thy covetousness, and for to shed innocent blood, and for oppression, and for violence to do it. It's not only for your actions, but for the thoughts and intents of your heart that innocent blood was shed. Psalms chapter 94. Psalms chapter 94, verse 21. They gathered themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemned the innocent blood. Now you may be thinking, I haven't killed anyone. Why is he putting this on me? And that's really where the problem is. The Word of God is trying to put that blood on you. And you won't see it. You refuse to see it. That verse again. They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. What are some ways we do that? Gather us against the soul of the righteous. Well, I don't agree with that verse. I don't think that's what it says. What about this one? I don't think God should have said that. Yeah. Boy. There's another really good point here, but I can't read my own handwriting, so just chalk that one up to me. Okay. Judges approved.
Use a computer.
Or print capital letters like I do.
Yeah. There's another good point in this verse 21. The second half reads, condemn the innocent blood. Condemn. That's the calling for the sentence of the judgment. You're calling for that sentence of the judgment or that punishment. You're calling for it. You're condemning it. That innocent blood would be shed for you. So you're calling for that sentence, and you can handle it. It can be handled one of two ways. Matthew chapter 27. That sentence, you're calling for that innocent blood to be shed, and you can handle it one of two ways. Matthew chapter 27, verse 25. Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be upon us and our children." Almost to say, let it be, or so what? By default, without taking any more action, this is your position. This is where you find yourself. His blood be upon us and our children. And this thought just came to me. I don't need my notes for this, but that the grievousness of that thought, that it's not just my mistakes, it's not just how I handle things wrong consistently, how I won't apologize for this or that, but Victor sees that and he thinks that's okay. And there's no getting away from that. That's the word of God. But thank God there's another option. Let's go to Jonah. Chapter 1, verse 14. That other option we have. Wherefore, they cried unto the Lord and said, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." So in Matthew, we saw they didn't see that blood as innocent. In Jonah, they recognized not only is that blood innocent, but it can be put on us. Seeing that blood as innocent, it makes all the difference. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'm just waiting for God to give me something to add to that. But it's perfect. I can't add to it. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. So that's the innocency of his blood. He knew no sin, but he was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This will be our last verse, Deuteronomy chapter 19. Deuteronomy chapter 19, and I'm looking at verse 13. Thine eyes shall not pity him, but thou shalt put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, that it may go well with thee. Thine eyes shall not pity him, but thou shalt put away the guilt of innocent blood. Only God can put away that guilt. I've preached myself into a corner. There's another cardinal rule. It says if you said it's the last verse, stick to it, or they'll never trust you again. So you guys just stay right where you're at. I'll try to preach this from memory. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So God takes that repentant sinner, guilty of the shedding of that innocent blood, and washes him clean in that same sacrificial blood, not of anything we did, but of his own perfect work. Glory be to God.
Thank you very much, Brother Kyle.
We're going to do...